Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Charissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven long. Oh, praise Him, alleluia.
Thou rising morning, praise rejoice. Ye lights of evening, find a voice. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him.
Him, oh, praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let all things that Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him, hallelujah. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son.
I hope you can hear us. Here we are. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Charissa and I'm joined in studio, in a new studio, with Danny and Rochelle. How are you both?
We are keeping well. Well, I certainly am. Yes, we are in a new part of the studio here. So we're just getting used to this new space, acclimatizing and, yeah, praising the Lord, looking up and excited about being on another show.
Amen. Now, can you actually hear me, Danny?
I can hear you.
We're not.
You sure. Can't hear yourself.
I can't hear myself.
Ah, we can all hear you.
That doesn't matter, so long as you can hear me. Now I hear. You that sounds really good now. We are so excited to be back again for our second last Looking Up show of 2025.
Are you telling me 2025 is almost over?
I am telling you that.
And that's true. That's not fake news.
That is as true as the true news can be.
Oh, well, there you go. Far out. What a year. And how fast it has flown by. It's incredible.
Yeah, it has. Another year closer to heaven.
Amen.
To the coming of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we are excited because we're here, of course, but we're also looking forward to a good Bible study today. And what are we going to be talking about with our listeners today?
Well, God willing, in our Bible study, we're going to be talking about, well, there were so many different options for today. I had like two or three different titles for today, but the one we have landed on in the last literally 60 seconds or so,
yes,
is we're going to be taking, literally, if people are thinking, what? So, yeah, this is an organic show. As you all know, this is an organic show. And as the Lord leads, we move. Isn't that right, Sharissa?
Amen.
So we want to be taking a look at something that has literally come off the press, hot off the press. And I mean that in more ways than one. Mm-hmm. Charlie Kirk's book, Stop in the Name of God, in connection with the Sabbath, how the Sabbath has transformed his life. That book has just hit the bookstores.
Yes.
And it's the number one best-selling book on Amazon. And it's just going like hotcakes. I know that Sharissa has put in a pre-order, so she's waiting for that to appear in a letterbox one of these days,
yes.
And I'll be ordering it. So we want to take a look at Charlie Kirk and the Sabbath today. So I think it's an appropriate day. The book has come out literally December 9 in the States, which is December 10 in Australia.
Yep.
And also this week on 3ABN, television, your dear husband, Justin, and myself, we had an interview with John and Rosemary, and people can watch that in the catch-up if you missed it. It was on Sunday night. I actually missed it. Did you watch it?
No, I missed it.
It was Sunday night, 8 p.m. on 3ABN. I got caught up with some mowing, I think. I don't know what I was doing, but I missed it.
The sun's still up, that's why.
That's right. So I'm looking forward to watching that 3ABN interview. So Justin and I, we did an interview on 3ABN in connection with Charlie Kirk and the Sabbath. So that's airing on 3ABN right now. So there might be a couple of other times that'll be airing this week.
Great.
So we're going to be talking about that. And it's just so much more going on in the world. Bible prophecies being fulfilled. Another thing that I was planning, you know, if we didn't have Charlie Kirk, the title would have been, Sharissa, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Doomsday for Aussie Teens and Revelation 13 in Focus. Doomsday has arrived for under 16-year-olds today.
I'm incredibly intrigued, and maybe some of our listeners are wondering what on earth
You know about the doomsday clock, how it's getting closer and closer to midnight. It's like 89 seconds to midnight, but as far as teens are concerned in Australia the social media ban under 16s kicking in today, midnight today. So hundreds of thousands of teenagers have their social media accounts blocked.
Now,
they can't access them unless they move around the system.
But can't they just change their age?
Well, there's all sorts of different little things that we will talk about.
Okay.
We'll talk about.
I'm
they've got to get parental permission. But there's a whole bunch of things. Anyway, and I've said Doomsday for Aussie Teens and Revelation 13 in Focus, because this all connects with Revelation 13.
Really?
The poor teens have no idea they're fulfilling Bible prophecy. They have no idea.
If that doesn't whet your appetite for what is ahead in our program today, I don't know what will. I'm very keen to hear what we are going to discuss there. And I know that wasn't even the final focus of our Bible study
today. That wasn't. No. Charlie Kirk just got on top of that.
Yeah, so praise God that we can talk about the Sabbath as well.
So if there are any teens coming home from school with their parents and they're dejected, we've got a message from the Prime Minister for you. So just stay tuned. There's a message from the Prime Minister for the teens, first time in Australian history where the teens get the ear of the Prime Minister.
Wow.
This is something huge.
Yes, it is. So if you want to contribute to or comment on any of our conversation today, we'd love to hear from you.
Especially from the teens.
If there's a teen out there, please let us know.
Tell us how your heart is breaking.
The number 0488-17624 is the number to reach us on. It's live today. We're coming to you live on Wednesday, the 10th of December, 2025. We are now going to hear a beautiful song called As the Deer Pants. And it's a medley with awesome power, also brought to us by Sweet Deliverance. Sounds beautiful. So we'll enjoy this together and then unpack a few more of these things as they relate to the coming of Jesus and Bible prophecy.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit. is mine. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit. Righteousness around your throne. Holy, holy, holy Lord Most High.
Sweet deliverance as the deer pants, and you are listening to a live broadcast of the Looking Up Show today. This is our second last live broadcast for 2025. Next week will be our last one. So this is a special time, and we're so glad that you're joining us. We have a giveaway associated with every live broadcast. And today, our special giveaway is a little book entitled The History of Tomorrow. This is a book by Julian Archer, who's I think he's a personal friend of us both. And
top guy.
And this is an amazing book. It's a great book if you want to share some of the things that you've learned.
I've given
your
this
Bible
book
study.
Away on aeroplanes and other places many a time.
Yeah,
great book to give away.
It's a great book to
little
give away.
Pocket book.
Yes, a pocket book. So we have unlimited copies, which means every single person out there listening, if you text in the code word when we give it, you can be a winner today, which is great. We'll give away the code word a little bit later in the show, so keep listening. But the number to text, the code word, or any comments, prayer requests, questions you may have on our conversation today, 0488 176 24 is the number to reach us on. All right.
All right. Well, and by the way, we will be kicking off January 28th. So next year we kick off our live show January 28th. So straight after Australia Day, make sure you're tuning in on the Wednesday afternoon and we'll be ready to roll. And who knows what will happen from now till then.
That's right.
But anyway, let's, I've got a big shout out to do. I've got a big, big, big shout out to do. So, at Raymond Terrace Church, we had our Christmas dinner for the community.
Nice.
We have an op shop there at Raymond Terrace, RTM yes. Church. And yeah, we invited everyone to come along. It was really great. We even had animals. We had a few animals that
wow.
came through, which was really great. And so big shout out to all the folk that came along. I told them I'll give them a big shout out. If they're tuning into the Looking Up show this Wednesday, and I hope and pray that some are. But I wanted to give an especially big shout out to one of our main workers there at the church. His name's Matt, and he is a listener to the Looking Up show.
Hi, Matt.
And this guy is phenomenal. Now, this has not been shared on Forget about Faith FM radio. This is not being shared on radio anywhere in Australia or around the world, what I'm about to share. Like, this is phenomenal. Now, Matt, he is just a phenomenal bloke.
Tell us more.
He keeps telling me, every time I almost meet him, he's telling me of how he's doing this incredible work for his ex-wife. Like, he's divorced from his ex-wife, but he's doing all these favors for her. He does all this amazing work for his ex-wife. You know what I mean? Like, I don't do half the things for my wife that he does for his ex-wife. It's just like phenomenal. Like, the guy's just incredible. So I said to him, I'm going to buy you a t-shirt. Yeah. I'm going to buy you a t-shirt. And on the front of the t-shirt, it's going to say this. In fact, I can't buy it. There's no t-shirt like this that exists. So I'm going to have to make this up. Are you ready for this, Rochelle? So this is what's going to be on the front of the t-shirt. Best ex-husband in Australia. And on the back, ask me why. And when people ask him, why are you the best ex-husband in Australia? He's going to say, because of Jesus. Jesus changed my life, and now I'm just loving my ex-wife even more so than I probably did when she was my wife.
Wow.
You're speechless.
I'm just processing that we are talking about this. Did he get married again?
No. She's still his ex-wife. Now, he's a single bloke.
Yeah.
But, like, he treats his wife just incredibly. This is his ex-wife. Phenomenal bloke. Now, did you ever think you'd hear something like that?
Never.
On the Looking Up show.
In my entire life have I heard anything like
that. Rochelle, what are your thoughts on that? What do you have to say?
Here we go.
Isn't that the ultimate ex-husband?
Oh, I think it's beautiful, like you say, that Jesus has come into his life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's hope that maybe it won't be ex for eternity and maybe she'll warm to him again.
There you go.
And, like, get remarried.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? I remarried my in-laws.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is another true story. Another thing you probably won't hear on the Faith FM show. My father-in-law, divorced my mother-in-law and, through a set of circumstances, like 10 years later, he repented, asked for forgiveness, asked to be reunited. She forgave him and I remarried them. That was one of the most unique weddings I've ever conducted, marrying my father-in-law and mother-in-law.
Wow.
Now, has Justin ever done that? Probably not.
Oh, poor Charissa.
Poor Charissa. She's thinking, how did I end up? How did I end up today being here? Anyway, all right.
Moving on.
I'm telling you, we're living in a strange world. All right, so back to our young people. So this social media ban has come through and there are your girls, are they on social media, Rochelle? You've got young girls. Are they 13 to 15?
Yeah, so Charla's been complaining about this leading up for the last 6 months.
Wow.
She doesn't have much on social media. I think the main one that she likes is, because I don't like them to have anything like that. But she does like Instagram because one of her friends is on it and that's how they chit-chat.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about Instagram. That's one of the 10, Charissa. There are 350,000 13 to 15-year-olds in Australia that use Instagram.
That's amazing.
So there's a lot of tears today. So, yeah, there's Facebook as well, Threads. Had you heard of Threads?
Yes.
You've heard? I've never heard of Threads. Kick. Have you heard of Kick?
Nope. Never heard of
it. No, Brad, have you heard of Kick? Oh, Brad's heard of Kick. Here's our what's your role here, Brad? Remind me again. what's your role here at Faith FM? I can see you're eating your lunch, poor bloke, but what's your actual role? Okay, let's hear from Brad.
Oh, here you go.
All right, here we go. Special guest. Oh,
give me those headphones. Sorry, I got half a pie in my mouth. So technically my role is I'm the lead producer, so I try and take care of all the different studios around the country and make sure things are working as they should.
Excellent.
That's kind of important.
Now, Brad, while you're there, we just want to thank Brad for every time he remembers to put on a repeat show when we are not live.
Mm.
Yeah, because a few times he's forgotten. That's why I say every time he remembers.
That's all right.
You know. No. You've done well. So you put on the repeat shows and so forth when, like, over Christmas now. So you'll be the one choosing those shows and away you go.
No, I'd prefer you guys to choose them because you know which ones are the best ones.
Oh, okay.
We should have been taking notes.
Fair enough. So are you doing anything over Christmas?
Me, I'm actually going down to Jindabyne with my older brother and his family and my parents, and I guess we'll do the standard walk up to the top of Mount Kosciuszko, tallest mountain in Australia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not very impressive.
Yeah. It's like a little hill compared to New Zealand and Europe and the US.
Yep, so a bit of that. And then we're going to go down to Melbourne to visit my little brother and his family and go to the cricket for the Boxing Day test.
Oh, wow. Look at that, eh?
Mm.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Brad, for what you do.
No worries.
And, and by the way, just in case we have some technical difficulties, we are working on that. So we may go off air for a time. We're hoping and praying we won't.
It seems to be working just fine.
It's working really good.
That's good. Keep believing that.
Keep believing that.
That's what we need. Yep.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. But just in case. All right. Okay. Thanks so much for that, Brad. So there's a few others that are going offline. Reddit. I've heard of Reddit. Snapchat. Okay. That's a big one that teens use. TikTok. Obviously, that goes without saying.
And
Twitch.
X.
Yeah. But what's Twitch? Have you heard of Twitch, Brad? Have you heard of Twitch?
No.
No. I've heard of having an itch. But definitely not a Twitch.
Yeah.
Anyway, X or formerly Twitter, there's a whole bunch of them. And then, of course, YouTube. YouTube's the biggie, surely.
Yeah, that would be hard, but they could use their parents' account.
Yeah, so anyway. So, yeah, well, there's a message. Would it be timely now for us to share a message from the Prime Minister?
I think so, because I just see here in the news article that he says it's a proud day for him to be Prime Minister.
Yes.
He's pretty happy about it.
Do you ever know of another occasion, Charissa, when the Prime Minister of Australia has specifically addressed teenagers?
No. Not to my knowledge.
I can't think of another time. If any of our listeners can, please let us know, but I can't think of another time. But anyway, this is what he shared, a special message today for the teens. Hi there, students. I'll read it all out.
Yeah,
is that
please,
right?
Please.
Hi there, students, he says. It's the Prime Minister here and I want – well, it's not. It's only Danny, but I'm speaking on behalf of the Prime Minister here, and I wanted to speak to you directly about something very important. From December 10 – if you're under 16, you're no longer allowed to have a social media account. You'll know better than anyone what it's like growing up with algorithms, endless speeds, and the pressure that come with that. That's why we've taken this step to support you. If you have questions, by all means, reach out, talk to your parents, your teachers, and your friends. And if you feel like you need more support, Headspace and Kids Helpline is there to assist also. Above all, now I like what he shares here at the end. Above all, make the most of the school holidays coming up rather than spending it scrolling on your phone.
Mm.
Start a new sport, learn a new instrument, or read that book that has been sitting there on your shelf for some time. Maybe the Bible might be a good idea. What do you reckon, Charissa?
Yeah, I can think of a few good books.
Yes. And importantly, spend quality time with your friends and your family face to face. And he says, have a great summer.
Wow.
Now, isn't that a nice message?
Yeah. It's a very fatherly message.
Oh, it is. It's a beautiful message from our Prime Minister. Hey, I'd like to add something. If there are some 13 to 15-year-olds or under 16 teens and you're wondering what to do with your time now that you've got all this extra time, why don't you download the Faith FM app and you can listen to Faith FM.
There you go.
You can listen to the Looking Up show.
Yeah, well.
And all the other shows on there.
That's right. I like the idea of getting into a book, I must say, because.
Absolutely.
Like this is a great opportunity that maybe not everybody feels is great right now, but it is a great opportunity to to get into a good habit, which is picking up books and actually reading them. It's not something people do today. No. We're always on technology and on our phones. But, yeah, download the app or read a book. And the Bible's a great book to read, and there's lots of other great books Amen. About the Bible that you might be blessed Amen. By too. I'm looking at one right here on our desk. So,
The Great Controversy, and we've got one in the language of young people.
We do. What's
the Cosmic Conflict.
We talked
I've
about
been
that.
Reading it with my wife for our morning devotion. It's brilliant. The Cosmic Conflict. It's brilliant. I'm giving one to all of my cousins when I go down to Melbourne tomorrow. I'm going down to Melbourne tomorrow. And a few others, my tennis partner that I've just started playing, having a hit there in Raymond Terrace. His name's Ben. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give him a book. I'm just giving this out like hotcakes.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
You need it. You need to get yourself that book.
I have that book.
Cosmic Conflict.
I have it in my library. Okay. I haven't read it yet.
You will love it. You will fall in love with it.
Well, there you go. Maybe you're a teenager out there and you're experiencing all of this band firsthand live. We'd love to hear your thoughts, reflections on this historic day.
It is a historic day.
0488 176 24 is the number to reach us on.
Yeah, this is such a historic day, and Australia is leading the way. We have others, the European Union being one that is preparing for a social media ban of some kind. So there's
I must say, I'm curious because you said something in the intro about this being linked to
Revelation 13.
Yeah, like what were you thinking?
What was I thinking? That is a good question. No one's ever been able to answer
that's not
that.
What I meant,
my wife spent 30 years trying to answer that question.
Well, she can't
Danny,
answer it
what
then.
Are you thinking? Are you thinking anything? Let's go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, because this is the world that we live in. We live in a world of, well, as someone put it, I think it was Elon Musk, he shared, we have now moved from the industrial age to the intelligence age. Okay.
He said that.
That's what Elon Musk said. You know, we're moving there. And that's a whole brand new world. And we don't know really what that world is going to look like. So in Revelation 13, there at the end of Revelation 13, it speaks of this final end time crisis. And guess what it says? Mm-hmm. If you want to read verses 16 and 17.
He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name.
Okay, so at the end of time, we are told in Revelation very clearly, there's going to come a time when it doesn't matter who you are, where you are on the planet, you will not be able to buy or sell. There'll be financial implication if you're not willing to go along with this final worship mandate. Now, what's interesting is that we live in a day and age where, and we'll hopefully get a few more seconds from our friend Rochelle, if she can give us another minute or so, where we live in a day and age where there are digital IDs that are being rolled out, including here in Australia. There's a number of nations that are rolling out digital IDs. We live in a world where they're now looking to trial central bank digital currencies, like this programmable currency first time in human history. Mm-hmm. We live in a world where there in China, there's this social credit system. If you do well, you will function very well in society. If you lose credit, and we can do a whole, you know, we can do a whole study on that. I'm just sort of putting it out there. So we live in this AI world today that has been set up in a way where technology can literally run your life and does run our lives.
Absolutely.
So these young people, all right, they had their social media accounts switched off at midnight. Okay, they woke up with this message, and I've got the message here. This is what they woke up with, and I'll read this screenshot. Your account has been locked, okay? This is one particular one. We're sorry to announce that due to new Australian laws, Snapchatters, like I said, this is from Snapchat, under 16 can no longer access Snapchat. And it goes on, if you're 16 or older, you can verify your age to unlock your account. Otherwise, you can download your data to access your memories until your account is unlocked. We look forward to seeing you back on Snapchat when you're 16. Mm. That's the message there on the Snapchatters. So they would have got that, thousands of them. Mm-hmm. Now, what's going to happen if you do not comply with this final worship mandate. You know what's going to happen? It's not going to be your Snapchat account. It's going to be your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Your bank account is going to say, I'm sorry, your account has been locked. Your digital ID is not showing that you have complied with the mandates that have been brought forth for the peace and safety of our nation, of the world. Can you see how all this is now? And with all the algorithms, with AI, we're there.
Yeah.
So with you know, age verification through facial recognition and many other ways, we now have the technology for Revelation 13 to be put into place. We are almost there.
Yes.
So we're almost there. So this, what's happening right now,
it's proof that this can happen.
Absolutely. Mm. It's happening to hundreds of thousands of young people between 13 and 15. It can happen worldwide when that worship mandate happens. So we are watching it happen.
Wow.
So this is like, and so it's incredible how we are seeing all these things. And I shared with my Bible study folk yesterday, I shared, this is how it works. And I was thinking about this, doing some more thinking, which is always a bit of a worry, that we have been conditioned to convenience, okay? Mm-hmm. Tap and go. Convenience leads to control, leads to coercion, and all we need is a crisis.
See?
Can you see it now?
I can.
You can see it now. So anyway, so that's where the Revelation 13 doomsday for Aussies comes into play. And so this is all telling us that Jesus is coming soon. And I say hallelujah, praise the Lord, bring it on.
Amen.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then.
So it looks bad.
Looking Up Show is still here, and thank you for staying with us. We're having, as you mentioned, there's some technical.
It's a very organic show today, but Brad's doing a great job. I'm telling you, Brad is a far better bloke than I am. I wouldn't even try.
We would be still off air right now.
We would be off air permanently if I was in charge of technical.
This would have been our last show for the year.
Oh, we wouldn't even got on the radio.
That's right.
So, but yeah, no.
God willing,
we'll get this sorted, folks. Keep praying for our studio here in Lake Macquarie, that we can get to the bottom of this, sort it out, and that we can have uninterrupted airtime.
Amen.
On our various programs, including the Book Nook.
That's right.
Oh, did you hear that plug for the Book Nook again?
Yeah.
It's getting closer.
It is. When does it launch? When does it launch?
January. I should know this off by heart, but I've got so many dates in my mind. It's like, I think 15 or 8.
Oh, wow.
I think it's the 15th. I've got so many dates in my mind.
The 15th is a Thursday.
Yeah, so then it's a 15th.
So there we go.
Because we've got the Christmas. Shell and I are doing a Christmas one.
Tell us about
next
that.
Next week. So we're next just going to do a special Christmas show and a special Christmas question of the day.
On Thursday next week.
Yeah, yeah. So that's exciting.
Is that 3:30 to 5:30?
Yeah, on the Thursday afternoon. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's exciting.
There you go.
Just praying. We really need lots of prayer for this technical issues happening.
Yeah. We'll keep that in prayer. And all our listeners, our three listeners out there, they'll be joining us in prayer. No, they'll be praying. Sorry, folk, if we went off air and you're wondering what on earth. We did give you a bit of a heads up, but yeah. Anyway, hopefully we'll keep going. Hopefully we won't have too many more interruptions.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have none, but
we'll just keep going.
We will just keep going. All right. So, talking about this social media ban, I'm just here on the ABC News website and, there's a live kind of blog, going through, and one mother, her name is Georgina, and she writes, I checked my 14-year-old's TikTok and Snapchat accounts, and it appears he's falsified his birth date and gone through the facial verification process unscathed.
Wow.
I want his account suspended. What can I do? So this poor mother's like, oh, no, it's like doomsday for her now. So the kid's 14 and he's falsified his date ahead of time, and he's gone through all the loops, and he's fine. So I wonder how many kids.
Well, I was wondering, like, could kids before this date has
yeah, well,
come,
if they've
they
put in
just
false...
changed their date of birth, because
yeah,
you can do that.
You can.
Anyway.
You can. Anyway,
I'm sure
so.
Sure, many would have come out.
So,
it's the first thing that came to my mind.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Look, at the end of the day, this is something that parents and children need to have discussions on. You know, we need to be talking to our kids. I mean, governments, they have a role to play, but I don't expect the government to raise my child.
No,
I mean,
we shouldn't.
You've got little Judah who's going to be turning three very soon.
Mm-hmm.
When's his birthday?
January.
Wow.
I know.
So so he's going to be turning three. You don't expect the government to have those conversations with your children that you need to, and for the government through control and through making laws for them to, you know, show your child in the ways of
That's
the Lord.
Right.
You expect that of yourself and your husband, don't you?
That's right.
So let's
That's why you become parents.
Exactly. All right, so let's take a look at what else has been making news. So there's a number of other things that are making news, including bushfires.
Oh, yes, there's been lots of smoke around our
area. Yeah, it's been really, really tough with all these bushfires going on. People have lost homes.
Mm.
Thankfully, no lives have been lost. We had some members that were potentially going to be impacted in Bulahdelah. They're on Friday helping out with our Christmas program, Marg and her family were helping out with our Christmas program for the community whilst there was a big fire going off there in Bulahdelah, you know, just north of Newcastle, down south, Central Coast, Tasmania even. I read on the news, there's fires there.
I think a firefighter was killed, I'm just reading here, in our fires.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That must be something that's just very recent that's come through.
Mm.
Well, that's very sad for his family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, it's a dangerous time, and we've had wet weather the last 6 years.
That's right.
Since 2019, the big fires in 2019. It's been wet, and you can imagine, so much growth that has taken place because of the wet summers that we have had, and so there's so much fuel.
That's right.
Right now, so if we have a lot of hot weather, wind,
the country's ready to burn.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got a feeling, my friend, it's going to be a pretty bad year, pretty bad summer, I should say, for bushfires. But anyway, we can do our best. We can keep that in prayer and know that, this tells us that Jesus is coming soon. Amen?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Amen. All right, another thing we need to be mindful of and keeping in prayer is liberty of conscience.
Mm-hmm.
So I got an email that came through from Freedom for Faith. You're familiar with Freedom for Faith?
Mm-hmm.
And it just came through a couple of days ago on December 8th. And this is what they shared in that email. Conscientious objection is the simple idea that no one should be forced to take part in a practice they believe is wrong. And they go on, they say, this is particularly important in the most controversial areas of our society, that being abortion, euthanasia, and sexuality and gender. And so they're saying that in Victoria, New South Wales, and the Northern Territory, these three different governments are looking at putting in place laws that will impact people's ability to conscientiously object to being involved in various practices. For example, two Victorian political parties and their MPs have released a report on access to abortion, which recommends significantly undermining conscientious objection.
Mm.
So the recommendation would force all conscientious objectors to register with the government to be counted and monitored, effectively creating a public list of religious medical practitioners. So if you're not willing to, you're put on this list and you're monitored.
Wow.
Then as far as New South Wales is concerned, despite a strong campaign from faith leaders supported by Freedom for Faith, and others, the New South Wales Voluntary Assisted Dying Act was narrowly defeated. The amendment would have strengthened conscientious objection for faith-based aged care. However, this is where the situation is now. It says here, more recently, a threat to individual conscientious objection to abortion has been exposed. All right. So there are individuals and there could be institutions whereby they do not agree with, voluntary, what is it? What's it called again? Voluntary
abortion?
No, euthanasia. Assisted dying. Mm. And they don't want to partake in that and participate in that, but the government will not give them an opt out.
Mm.
So that especially impacts, religious institutions. And so, yeah, there are these laws. So we need to just keep all these things in prayer because there's more and more of this.
Yeah, and there will be more and more of it.
Yeah. And speaking of religious matters, just a little away from Australia, but in the Commonwealth, still in the Commonwealth, Canada.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Canada. I've got the headline here. Canadian lawmakers near deal to remove religious protections from hate speech laws.
Hmm.
So you know what this means?
No.
This means that if you preach a sermon
and
you're speaking
like
of biblical marriage as between one man and one woman, that's what God recognizes. That's what Scripture recognizes. That's the faith as far as a Christian is concerned. And someone in your audience objects to that, they could potentially take that church and take you, if you were the one speaking, on biblical marriage to court.
Wow.
Yep.
So they can take you to court if they don't like your sermon.
Yep. If they
find it offensive.
Exactly. So let me just
read. Even if what you're saying is based
on the Bible.
On the Bible.
That's right.
Which is not their words. You're just literally teaching and
you're just reading scripture.
The Bible says,
exactly.
Which is an ancient text.
Exactly.
That is
exactly.
Inspired by God.
Exactly. So you're sharing words written 3,500 years ago, literally.
And
by
if it
Moses.
Upsets someone,
mm-hmm.
you can go to court. Is that what you said?
Absolutely. I'll read to you what it says here. This is how the article begins. So this was.
Well, there goes freedom.
From December 4. Okay. So a few days ago. Canadian legislators are on the cusp of eliminating key religious protections from the nation's hate speech statutes, potentially paving the way for prosecutions over biblical teachings on marriage, sexuality, and other faith-based views. Under a reported bipartisan deal between the ruling Liberal Party and the Bloc Quebecois, religious exemptions from Canadian hate speech laws would be eliminated. So no more. You don't get a free pass anymore if you're a religious institution. Eliminated in order to advance support for Bill C-9, which would criminalize the display of the Nazi swastika and other anti-Semitic expressions. So they're kind of utilizing, this whole Nazi idea and, there's a law in Australia. We've passed legislation. If you do the Nazi salute or you have a Nazi flag or anything in connection with that, you will be prosecuted. That's a criminal offense. So now they're putting religious beliefs in connection with Bible teachings on the same plane, in the same basket as being a Nazi.
Wow.
And supporting Nazism. Can you see where things are going?
Yeah.
So because Canadian law currently exempts any hateful or anti-Semitic speech expressed or attempted to establish by an argument or an opinion on a religious subject or an opinion based on a belief in a religious text. Okay. But if this law passes, no longer will you be exempt as a religious institution. It will be considered hate speech.
Yeah, so much can change when you change the definition of something.
Absolutely.
And then who defines things?
Absolutely. It's hard for us to think that we're even having this discussion because once upon a time, marriage was always considered to be between one man and one woman, up until not so many decades ago. But in the last 10 to 20 years, especially, things have radically changed. Mm. I think the very first same-sex marriage took place in the Netherlands, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong. I think it was April 1, 2001. So that's less than 25 years. That was the very first one in the world.
Wow.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. Now, where do we go from here?
Where do we go?
Okay, there's so much more to talk about. Let's just try and hurry this all along in connection. Okay, digital IDs. Did you know
that
Apple?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got an Apple phone. I don't know, what kind of phone do you have? Do you have an Apple phone
as
well?
Same as you.
Okay, so Apple, Brad will know this because Brad's a techie. Apple have introduced digital ID. I'm sure, he would know that. He knows everything about all that. Did you know that, Rochelle? No, Rochelle didn't. Okay. Apple introduces digital ID, a new way to create and present an ID in Apple Wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this will offer a secure and private way for users to create an ID in Apple Wallet using information from their US passport. So this is starting out in the US. The US. Interestingly enough, the center of end time Bible prophecy, and present their ID with iPhone or Apple Watch. So this is really, really fascinating.
Can't be too far away because we can present our license here.
Yeah, we can.
On our phones.
Exactly. Digital. So Australia has a digital platform. We call it My ID.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've already got that operating here. But apparently in the last few years, whilst we've been focused on COVID and the pandemic, dozens of countries have been developing or have rolled out digital IDs.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way through, China. Let's talk about China for a moment. Guess what they have done? They have connected the digital ID to their social credit system.
Interesting.
So the social credit.
So now they can control.
Oh, control people on steroids.
Wow.
So this is just so interesting. I mean, it's in the European Union,
mm-hmm,
by 2026, so that's next year, my friend,
mm-hmm,
they will mandate their digital system requiring all member states plus Norway, Iceland and Ukraine who are not in the European Union to offer digital identity wallets. Now, in Australia at the moment, it's optional, okay? Mm-hmm. But guess what? That optional will one day become
mandatory.
Exactly.
Just waiting for that crisis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here we are. It's just all coming to pass, one thing after the next.
But it's so,
telling us Jesus is coming soon.
Right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
That's the good news. That's the good news.
Yes. Well, again, he's coming soon because he's already come. He came the first time as a baby. And so this time of year, I really enjoy all the Christmas songs that remind us of the first coming of Jesus. This is Lauren Daigle bringing to us What Child Is This?
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring Him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Man. Loving heart enthroned Him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring Him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Man. Shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste.
Music. That was Lauren Daigle bringing to us What Child Is This? And you're listening to the Looking Up program. That is the end of the song.
I love it.
Surprise. Here we go.
Yes, technologically, I'm still trying to catch up with the changes too, and I no longer have your names. So I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We're very organic today.
I love it. Because everything is just so planned today. And with algorithms, everything
goes the same every week. It's boring.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas with us, every week we have no idea what's going to happen.
That's right.
No 2 weeks are ever the same.
That's right.
I mean, you've got no idea what I'm going to say. Like today, I mean, what I talked about.
Yeah,
like,
no.
I mean,
I could never have guessed it.
You can't make that stuff up, can you?
No, you can't. You can't even make it up. So we are enjoying this. I think we should give away the code word.
Yeah, the code word.
Because we have this giveaway. It is The History of Tomorrow by Julian Archer, an amazing book. And I believe
Where is the code word?
Yeah, I believe if I'm remembering correctly, this book unpacks some of the Bible prophecy of Daniel chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got the book in front of me.
That's the prophecy that is the reason for my haircut. Remember that? I was going through the Daniel 2 prophecy, Babylon with my Iraqi barber, and that is why my hair looks the way it does.
That's the last time you're going to do that.
But I'm sure. That was great. Well, so, yeah, great pocketbook, Daniel 2. You will love it.
We got the code word that we can give away.
I think I've got a drum roll. Hang on. I think let's see if it works.
We just can't see the code word. Can you see it?
No, I can't see
it. It's coming.
Okay, so I pushed drum roll, but I didn't hear anything.
And the code word.
Yeah.
And the code
word is. Wait.
No. And the code word.
The code word is, can you put it on the screen? Oh.
They're looking at me. They're saying, I'm like, what?
We can't see the code word here.
God. I don't know what.
We've been decoded.
Nobody knows the code word.
Oh, wait, there it is.
I think it is LU25.
Birthday.
Yeah.
No.
History, guys.
LU25 history. I just saw birthday up the top.
All right.
LU25 history.
LU25 history.
Appropriate for the history of tomorrow. There are unlimited copies. Every single person who texts can receive it. The number to text this to is 0488-817-624.
There we go.
Very good.
All right. So it's all back. Oh, it's all back.
0488-817-64 LU25 history. Oh, good. David, our faithful listener in WA, is the first out of the gates.
First out of the blocks. Go, yeah, Dave.
Go,
Dave. Well done. All right, my friend. Well, we're going to get into our Bible study soonish. Mm-hmm. Our Bible study on Charlie Kirk and the Sabbath and his book, Stop in the Name of God. So we're going to be dealing with that. But before that, something pretty big took place. I got this, I don't know who sent it to me, interesting image, very interesting image of Pope Leo and the patriarch,
ooh,
the leading patriarch of the Orthodox Church, Bartholomew, and together they are pictured on November 30 there, in Turkey, as he was on his trip to Turkey, they are kissing the remains or some of the bones, fragments of Saint Peter.
What?
I'm telling you, sister,
I can't see this now.
I'm like, is this an AI generated image or is this the real deal?
I'm looking at it.
It's the real deal.
So
it says here, November 30, Leo and Bartholomew kiss the relics of St. Peter. Mm. It is the casket built by Paul VI to hold 9 bone fragments taken from the relics preserved in the Vatican necropolis that the Pope wanted for the chapel of his apartment and that Francis gave to Bartholomew in 2019.
So interesting. We have no verification.
Of course there's no verification. There's no DNA testing. No one knew what Peter's DNA was. I mean, this is all just hogwash. Mm-hmm. With all due respect to our Catholic brothers and sisters who might be listening, but, this is not true. And I did a bit of research, and guess what? Indeed, There's an article here from Catholic News Agency from July 3, 2019 with the headline, Pope Francis gives relic of St. Peter's bones to Orthodox patriarch. So that was, July 3, 2019. So it says here, Pope Francis gave unexpectedly a reliquary containing, I don't know how to pronounce that. Do you know how to pronounce that word? Reliquary? Mm. I don't know. Yeah. R-E-L-I-Q-U-A-R-Y. Anyway, I haven't come across this word. Containing what are believed to be bone fragments of St. Peter to the Orthodox Patriarch Bartholomew, an ecumenical gesture that has generated controversy among some Catholics. It goes on here to say that in 1952, while there was a dig going on in St. Peter's Basilica, Pope St. Paul VI these eight bone fragments were found. It's just incredible.
It's actually really sad because these are leaders of, billions of people in the world and Christian communities. And the Bible actually talks very clearly against these things.
Mm. Do you want to read for us what it says?
They're disregarding the Bible here, and I've just got a verse here, and this is the one that's come to my mind. I looked it up here. Deuteronomy 18, verse 11, talking about, if one conjures spells or a medium or a spiritist or one who calls up the dead, they're dead. They can't hear us. They can't, none of this communication with the dead is biblical.
No, it's not. And but do you know one of the main reasons why Pope Francis gave this?
No.
Supposed bone fragments of St. Peter, which is not true. Mm-hmm. They're not bone fragments of St. Peter. I'll read to you here. It says here, Pope Francis said in his meeting with the ecumenical delegation June 28th, so they visited the Vatican when he gave this gift to the, to the Patriarch. This is what he said. The feast of St. Peter's and Paul, which falls on the same day in the liturgical calendars of East and West, okay, so West being the Roman Catholic Church, the East being the Orthodox Church, there was that split in 1054, invites us to renew the charity that generates unity. He says, I am increasingly convinced that the restoration of full unity between Catholics and Orthodox will come about through respect for specific identities and a harmonious coexistence in legitimate forms of diversity. And he goes on, he says, the Holy Spirit, for that matter, is the one who creatively awakens a multiplicity of gifts, harmonizes them, and brings them into authentic unity. And, so it's all about unity. And this Pope, the current Pope, Leo, he also is focused on unity. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Unity, peace, bringing everyone together. And so this is telling us that Bible prophecy is fast fulfilling very, very quickly.
Amen.
But yeah, it's not biblical. What is taking place is not biblical, but sadly a lot of people don't know that and don't realize that. So, and this 1700th anniversary, we talked about that, this Council of Nicaea, the 1700th anniversary, trying to bring unity. Once again, this is NBC News. Pope joins patriarchs at historic Christian site in Turkey. That's, Nicaea. To commemorate creed and pray for unity. So this is all taking place. While all these other things are taking place with digital IDs and central bank digital currencies, preparing the way, you have in the religious side, you have this unity coming together, while on the other side, we've got this establishment of the structure, the infrastructure that will be needed to roll out that final worship mandate. It's all coming together.
Wow.
Not to mention more and more, from the United States government tapping into religion, and in particular Christianity. Christian nationalism is now become mainstream in the White House. Let me share with you this.
Tell us more.
This was from December 8, okay, a couple of days ago. This is from the White House. You can go onto the White House website, and this is what you'll find there. Presidential message on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. So honoring the day dedicated to Mary, who the church says had an immaculate conception.
Mm.
And that is not biblical. Now, maybe some of our listeners, maybe many of our listeners won't understand what this immaculate conception is all about.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to explain that. So the Catholic Church believes that the Immaculate Conception is the belief or the dogma or the teaching that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was preserved from original sin, in that she did not inherit the sin that has been passed down to all humanity from Adam and Eve, because Adam and Eve sinned.
She didn't have a bent to sin like the rest of us.
She didn't. She miraculously was spared. No, not bent. She was sinless.
Mm-hmm.
She was not born.
She never sinned.
She was, you know how David says, I was born into sin, you know, from my mother's womb. And you know how the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No. Mm-hmm. Mary's exempt from that.
Interesting.
She has miraculously been preserved to be the first post Adam and Eve sinless person that has ever lived.
That's what they believe.
That's what they believe.
That's not what the Bible teaches.
The Bible teaches that all have sinned.
Yes.
But the church, and so the White House has this is the government. So they are supporting this for the first time.
That's amazing.
Unprecedented. Have we used that word?
Yes.
A few times this year.
Mm-hmm.
And right at the end of the statement, you can read that. At the end of the statement, it says, in her honor, and on a day so special to our Catholic citizens, we remember the sacred words that have brought aid, comfort, and support to generations of American believers in times of need. And then, right at the bottom, they quote, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary. Where is that in the Bible? Mother of God.
She doesn't know any of this.
Pray for us sinners. How can we pray for Mary? But she is seen by the Church of Rome as a co-mediator in heaven right now. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I'm telling you, if this is not blasphemy, I don't know what is. This is blasphemy in the highest order, Charissa.
Mm.
This is claiming divinity for a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ came into the world. He was born without sin, yet became sin for us. He was born without sin. He was born of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. No human being has been born without sin post Adam and Eve.
Absolutely.
And we don't pray to Mary. We pray to Jesus Christ.
There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen. But this is on the White House website.
Wow.
This is church and state uniting.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it goes against the scripture where the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:5, for the living know that they will die, but the dead, Mary's dead, know nothing. And they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun.
Mm.
She's resting in the grave,
waiting for the sound of the trumpet, which we believe is not far distant.
Yeah.
Yes, God gave her the privilege to bring into this world the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But there's nowhere in scripture that teaches that she was sinless or that she was conceived in this immaculate, sinless way. Absolutely. The Bible doesn't teach that at all.
You know, that
free from original sin, as the church puts it. No, that's not true. That's not biblical.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Well, this is one of many things, sadly, that are not biblical.
One of the things, though, that I like to, when people do like and believe this, you know, I always like what Mary said to the servants at the wedding in Cana.
Oh, yeah, in John chapter 2.
This is where I would 1,000% agree with her. She said in John chapter 2, verse 5, his mother said to the servants, that's Mary said to the servants at the wedding, whatever he says to you, do it.
Amen.
That's good counsel.
Very cool. Good counsel. Yes. Whatever she says to you, do it.
Whatever he says.
Whatever he says. Yeah, sorry. Whatever he says. Yeah.
Speaking of Jesus.
Absolutely. And so, yeah. So anyway, these are some of the prophetic headlines. I've shared with you from India, you know, those seven tips in connection with keeping Sunday as a day to prepare for the week. So,
which will set us up for our conversation about taking about the Sabbath.
Absolutely.
Which is coming up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to move into that. There's a few other headlines here, but I'm just going to bypass them. And we really want to move into Charlie Kirk. And it's really fascinating that this was indeed Charlie Kirk's final message to America. I've got a news headline here from the Free Press.
Can I interrupt?
Yes.
Just, we were doing lots of technical stuff and Brad's doing really good. We think we've got hope here. We really need to chuck to a song. And then do you want to do the Charlie?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's do You're it. In charge.
That's right.
Oh, do you want to introduce
this is the one? Yes. While shepherds watch their flocks by night, antique persuasion. Enjoy and be blessed. I'm looking forward to this.
Hey, everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then.
And glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty had seized their troubled minds. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind, to you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day born of David's line, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign, and this shall be the sign. The heavenly babe you there shall find to human view displayed, all meanly wrapped in swaddling bands and in a manger laid, and in a manger laid.
We're alive.
We are.
Well and truly, we are alive.
We're alive and my headphones just unplugged. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
I can't hear me, but that's okay as long as you can hear me.
Are you on?
All right. So we are, we've come up to the time of our Bible studies that
we're going
to do. But before we do, we should repeat the code word.
Absolutely.
LU25 history is the code word for today's broadcast, and it is for that little book, The History of Tomorrow by Julian Archer. So LU25 history, text that through to 0488 176 24.
All right, so we are going to move into our Bible study
now,
but before we plunge into our Bible study for the rest of our time this afternoon, we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to bless our time together. So, Sharissa, would you like to lead us in prayer?
Father in heaven, thank you that we have an opportunity to study the Bible, and we ask for your Holy Spirit to guide our discussion, and thank you for the Bible that we have in these incredible times. We would be lost without your word. So we ask your guidance now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So we want to take a look at this. Yeah, it's making news headlines right now, especially, I'm assuming, especially in the United States, not so much probably in our news feeds, but certainly in the US, and especially amongst the Christian community. There are many who have been anticipating the arrival of this book, Charlie Kirk's book on the Sabbath. And this was the headline from the Free Press. I'm not sure if I shared it earlier. I don't think I did. Charlie Kirk's final message to America from the Free Press. They've shared this on the 12th of September, 2025. Charlie Kirk finished writing a book just months before he was murdered. This exclusive excerpt is about the importance of observing the Sabbath and why rest might heal our country. So it starts off by saying, in the final years of his life, Charlie Kirk wrote a book. It's about the importance of observing the Sabbath in our increasingly frenetic age, of resisting for one day a week your smartphone, your work, the distractions of modern life, and dedicating yourself to what's truly important. So, Stop in the Name of God. Is that book, and the subtitle is, I don't have it here in front of me. Do you have the subtitle there somewhere?
I have it somewhere here. Why Honoring the Sabbath Will Transform Your Life.
Okay, beautiful subtitle. All right, so I'm going to share a little of what Justin and I shared in our 3ABN interview.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through some of those things, some of the things that Charlie Kirk shared in his own words. Now, before that, did you want to just sort of share anything in connection with when you discovered that Charlie Kirk had this desire to share on the Sabbath, that he just what he experienced, he wanted to share so much?
I knew of Charlie, you know, before he died, based on his, you know, viral videos on how he would engage with students on campuses. And that was always really interesting to watch. But I had heard of him specifically because he was someone in politics who was convinced of keeping the seventh day Sabbath. That's what I had heard of him. And I thought that was very exciting. And so then when he passed away, that was when I discovered, I didn't know until he died, that this was his last work. So I think, yeah, it's very interesting, very amazing. And from what I'm hearing, what I heard of him in videos before he died, he really loved the Sabbath, and it was transforming his life. God was really blessing him for embracing this truth in
Amen.
His life.
Amen. And if I could just say this, like, you know, you and I are blessed to keep the Sabbath. You know, we're enjoying it. And the Sabbath is a blessing. You know, let's not forget. I mean, right at the very beginning, if you want to just read where we have the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Right there at creation. If you want to read Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3.
Yeah. The Bible here says, "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." And by the way, I understand that it's a tradition in Jewish families to every Friday night they read this passage.
Is that right?
Yeah. Genesis 2, 1 to 3. It's to
powerful.
Usher in the Sabbath hours.
Powerful. And this was so important, so important to God, and he did not want us to forget this blessing that he has given to the human race. Adam and Eve, they were not Jews. They were the first humans, that he placed it there in stone in the heart of the Ten Commandments. You know, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And it goes on, you know, speaks of that commandment. Then at the end of it, it says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So that once again, that same language from Genesis is used. And this day is to be a blessing for all,
mm-hmm.
you know, for people, for animals, and also for the land. The mm-hmm. land was to rest every seventh day, and every seventh year, the land was to rest.
Mm.
And, you know, slaves were to be redeemed, or slaves were to be let go every seventh year. So you've got the sabbatical years. You've got the Jubilee year that fits in with that after seven sevens. You know, the 50th year was the Jubilee year. So the Sabbath is so predominant throughout entire scripture from Genesis all the way through to Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And so Charlie Kirk, he discovered the blessings of the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And once he discovered the blessings of the Sabbath, he wanted to share that message far and wide.
And what a testimony for us. Like, we know about the seventh-day Sabbath, but that same fire should be in all of us.
Absolutely.
To share this blessing that God has infused into this day, which he desires to bless all of us, all humanity. Yeah.
And even though Charlie Kirk was not a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, but in my humble opinion, he is the best promoter of the Sabbath that I have come across.
And you know what? He actually speaks. I'm looking here at some pictures that someone's taken of the book. He spoke favorably of Seventh-day Adventists, and he was very impressed with them, the ones that he had met, and their understanding of the Sabbath.
Well, that's right. And he was on a panel discussion in connection with the Sabbath earlier this year. And he talked about the Sabbath and in connection with, you know, the Seventh-day Adventists who are organizing this particular panel discussion. And he shared, you know, how we've got so much in common. And he really encouraged the Seventh-day Adventists to be more at the forefront, you know, to be more proactive in sharing this blessing with the rest of the world. Do you remember that? You would have watched that. I certainly did. On the Pearl. On that Pearl. And yeah, very, very powerful. You know, so I heard his wife, Erica, you know, the widow of Charlie Kirk, and she was sharing how this was the one thing that he wanted to talk about more than anything else. He had 50 books on the Sabbath in his library.
I saw that.
50 books? I don't have 50 books on the Sabbath in my library dedicated specifically to the Sabbath.
Right.
50 books.
Yeah.
And he was an avid reader, and that is why
he read like 100 books a year or something. And actually, I was very inspired by that. That's something I've embraced since then. I'm trying to carve out deliberate time every
day. Read.
Just to read 10 pages. That's my goal, 10 pages every day of a book.
And so he loved the Sabbath. He wanted to share. In fact, on that Pearl, and people can go online. People can go online. It's on YouTube there. If you just Google, you know, Charlie Kirk interview in connection with the Sabbath, Pearl Conference. Can't exactly remember when the date was. But anyway, you'll be able to find it on YouTube. You'll discover that he says very clearly that he talks about politics every day. But he said he's sick and tired of politics and he wants to talk about the Sabbath more than any other subject. My sister sent me this. You might have seen it. I'm not sure if you saw it. One of these podcasters. And he was doing a selection of, you know, various quotes from Erica Kirk and others and Charlie himself in connection with the Sabbath. And one encounter that Charlie had, obviously at a university, and I think it was in England, and he's asked about the Sabbath, and he's like, oh, thank you for asking me. And I so much want to talk about it.
Wow.
And he shared, and he also shared how, you know, this was something that those who do not have any religious faith can tap into, you know, just switching off from the world for 24 hours.
And he talked about something, I'm sure it's in his book, I saw it on an interview, he talked about something called the Sabbath test. If you want to know if you're really keeping the Sabbath, he calls it the Sabbath test. And he said, if I were to walk into your home and I can't tell it's the Sabbath just from the moment I enter your home, then you're not keeping the Sabbath properly. Like it should affect us and affect our lives. You know, what we do, it's a special time. It's a celebration. And you know, what a wonderful time in history to be. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Like the seventh day is so special and it's so important because God.
Well, it's in the name of Seventh-day Adventists.
That's what I'm trying to say. So, what a special time. this Seventh-day Adventist.
And you know what? I believe that it's not by coincidence, that this was his final book. He's written other books. This was his final book before his tragic, you know, untimely passing. And God ensured, apparently he had finished it. Mm-hmm. He had finished it.
1 month before he died or something?
I don't know when, but yeah, he passed. He was shot on September 10, which is literally 3 months ago today.
Mm.
3 months ago today. How time flies. It doesn't seem like
it went quick.
It's been 3 months since his passing. But just before he passed away, he's completed this book, and God ensured that his life would be spared, because the Sabbath will be the issue at the end of time.
Amen.
It's going to be the dividing issue at the end of time. That's going to divide the world into two camps, those who worship the Creator God and are faithful to Him and honor Him and His day that He has set aside as a sign
of their love and allegiance to Him.
Absolutely. That's the seal of God. Mm-hmm. And the opposite will be a counterfeit day of worship that will be rolled out, which is the mark of the beast. And so this, I believe, is not by coincidence.
I totally agree with you. In fact, his favorite Bible verse, Romans 8:28.
Is that right?
That's his favorite Bible verse. Wow. All things work together for good. And God is, you know, it's not good that he was killed, but God has allowed this legacy of his that he's left behind to work for the good of his kingdom, I believe, in highlighting this precious truth that the world needs to take note of. Because as you say, the Sabbath will be the final test day.
It is. It's the final test day.
At the end of time.
Absolutely. And no wonder the commandment begins with remember.
Yes. It's the only one, isn't it?
It's the only one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so this book from Charlie Kirk and, you know, the circumstances in which we are now discussing this book is turning people to the Sabbath. It's reminding people of the Sabbath. The remembering now is in full swing.
So refreshing. Can I read to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is from page 116 in his book. Someone has put this, and it says here, according to the official Seventh-day Adventist Church manual, the Sabbath is, quote, a symbol of our redemption in Christ, a sign of our sanctification, a token of our allegiance, and a foretaste of our eternal future in God's kingdom, end quote. The Adventist Church teaches that Sabbath observance is both a present blessing and a prophetic marker pointing forward to the rest and restoration promised at Christ's return.
Oh.
This theological view is deeply holistic, encompassing physical rest, mental peace, social bonding, and spiritual renewal. In the words of their official doctrinal statement, I quote again, he's quoting, the gracious Creator, after the 6 days of creation, rested on the seventh day and instituted the Sabbath for all people as a memorial of creation. The Sabbath is God's perpetual sign of his eternal covenant between him and his people.
Wow.
That's from
I'm buying the book just because of that one statement. That's powerful.
And this book's now the top seller on Amazon.
Wow. This is God bringing to light that which needs to be brought to the forefront at just the right time. Mm-hmm. So we have all this church-state union that we've talked about. We just shared earlier, you know, the United States website, you know, the United States White House website in connection with this, you know, Mary, you know, false teaching, okay, this blasphemous statement, literally, you know. And now we have the truth in connection with the Sabbath. And God, at the right time, he's going to be bringing out more and more of the truth. People are going to be talking more and more about this. That is just so powerful. Let me share with you something that Charlie shared in that interview. This is what he shared in connection with the Sabbath. He said, this was his experience. Are we out of time nearly?
Almost.
Okay, maybe I'll share this afterwards.
Okay, so we'll have Anna Weatherup bring to us Away in a Manger, accompanied by Dale Willis, and then we're going to hear what you wanted to share, because I really want to hear that. It's going to be very good. So Anna Weatherup and Dale Willis bringing to us this beautiful Christmas carol, Away in a Manger.
For a bed, the lid. No crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky. Stay by my side until morning is by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care. Take us to heaven to live with thee there. Take us to heaven to
on Faith FM, we are putting on a Christmas spectacular.
That's right. Join Shells and I for a two-hour festive celebration packed with joy and the true story of Christmas.
We've got amazing Christmas music weaved with the heartwarming story of Jesus and special messages from some of your favorite Faith FM hosts.
And don't miss our special question of the day Christmas edition, where Lyle will be put to the test with some truly merry and tricky Christmas questions.
So sit down under some fairy lights,
even if they are your neighbors,
and tune in for a Christmas program that's full of fun, faith, and festive cheer.
For the Two Nutshells Cracker of a Christmas special on the 18th of December from 3:30 to 5:30.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Hi, I'm Rochelle, and I've got some great news about a new program called The Book Nook, coming to Faith FM in 2026. Join me as we discover great books, chat with inspiring authors, and enjoy great music and giveaways. We'll also be joined by Lyle Southwell each week for Question of the Day, where you'll get answers to your Bible questions. Tune in for our big launch on Thursday, January 15, 2026, from 3:30 p.m. New South Wales time. The Book Nook with Rochelle, coming soon to Thursday afternoons on Faith FM.
Looking up show on our time, it's flying. We're having a lot of good conversation here today, and we're so glad that you're all joining us. A reminder, the code word for the giveaway, LU25 History, and that's to receive the little book, The History of Tomorrow by Julian Archer. Text that code word through, LU25 History, to 0488817624 to receive your gift from us.
Fantastic. All right, so back to Charlie Kirk, and yeah, just the way he was blessed in connection with the Sabbath and how he wanted to get the message out. When he shared a bit of his testimony on that Pearl discussion, that panel discussion on the Sabbath, he shared how at first when he was introduced to the Sabbath by a pastor by the name of David Engelhart, he was a little bit hesitant. You know, he shares how he wasn't sleeping well. He was very fatigued. And this pastor said to him, you know, have you been honoring the Sabbath?
Yes.
And Charlie says, well, you know, I'm not really interested in that. I'm not really bound by that. Doesn't really have anything to do with me. I don't, you know, I don't have to do that. And so the pastor really challenged him, hey, are you sure that this isn't for you? Why don't you check it out? And so Charlie decided to check it out. He also had a mentor, a Jewish rabbi mentor by the name of Dennis Prager. And Charlie saw him as, you know, as a premier teacher in the Torah, which is, you know, those first five books of the Bible or the books of Moses. And he shares how he discovered that this Sabbath or Shabbat, as his friend Dennis would refer to the Sabbath, which is the Hebrew term, which means literally stop. That's why he called the book Stop in the Name of God, because stop is Shabbat in Hebrew. And he was like, what? You know, Charlie was saying to this guy, you know, you're able to just unplug for one day. You don't need to work. You can be with friends, your family. You can worship God. And he said, I really want that. You know, he was fatigued. He was exhausted, wasn't sleeping well. And then he goes on and then he says this, Charlie says this in the interview. He says, and then I realized it's not something in connection with the Sabbath you go and purchase at the store. It's not something that you have to take out a loan for. It's simply the prioritization of the question of who's in charge. It's that simple. And if you believe God is in charge and if you believe Genesis 1:1, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, because the Shabbat is a question of whether or not you believe Genesis 1:1, and if you believe Genesis 1:1, then you honor the Sabbath.
Wow. Wow. It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah. So if you believe God created the heavens and the earth, if you believe in Genesis 1:1, then you will honor the Sabbath. Yeah.
That's so powerful. So clear, so powerful.
Absolutely. And then he also says the Sabbath helps us to worship the creator rather than creation. Because it's easy for us to worship creation. And he uses the example of Romans chapter 1. Yes, Romans chapter 1. This is what he shares. He says, we must never worship creation. Romans 1 warns us about this. And you see this with people that will worship nature or worship the sun. We are to worship the creator. And Shabbat gives us that opportunity to worship the creator of the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
Wow. Isn't that beautiful?
That's powerful.
And that's what Romans 1 is all about. If you go through Romans 1, it's a society, which sadly is our society here in the West, in particular, Sharissa, that has turned their backs on God and his word. And unfortunately, the Bible says, you know, God has no choice but to give them up. Not that he wants to give them up, but he gives them up, you know, to their uncleanliness, to their lusts and so on and so forth, to their vile passions, to all unrighteousness. And I'm just using a few descriptive words here in Romans chapter 1. And but when you stop and you pause and you worship God as the creator of heaven and earth every seventh day Sabbath from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. And by the way, he would switch off his phone, you know, Friday sunset, he would switch off his phone, put it in the drawer, and his wife, Erica, said that she had a husband who was transformed by the Sabbath. She says that. She says, my husband was always a loving husband. He always made time for me and the children, you know, but the Sabbath took him to a new level.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what she says.
Say that. Yeah.
The Sabbath took her husband to a new level.
And that's what God desires.
That changed him.
For all of us.
Absolutely.
To experience a new level in our walk with him.
Absolutely.
Of closeness.
Absolutely. Just beautiful, beautiful.
Very beautiful.
And this is what he also shared. He says, in connection with the Sabbath, He says, I speak at hundreds of churches of all different denominations, and I will challenge the Christian church because I believe that it is the most ignored commandment of the Decalogue.
Mm.
To our own detriment, he goes on and he says, which is that I believe that honoring the Sabbath is the commandment that allows you to honor the other nine commandments. Mm-hmm. So he says, when you are honoring the Sabbath, you are then able to honor all the other nine commandments.
Better positioned. Mm. Because you won't commit adultery because you're spending more time with your wife. You won't covet because you're appreciating what God has done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, powerful. And then check out what he says next. And then he goes on and he says, and the enemy, that's the one whose name is evil with a capital D, and the enemy has gone after honoring the Sabbath because then it is easier to weaken the other nine. And he goes on and he gives some of the examples that you gave.
Well, you know, Ellen White, had kept the Sabbath, there would be no atheist because we would never forget from where we came. We'd never forget that we have a creator and the purpose for which we were made to be in relationship with him. Like, there would be none of those terrible problems that we have to face.
Absolutely. Today. Absolutely. And he also taps into Deuteronomy chapter 5. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Mm-hmm. He because obviously the Ten Commandments are repeated here in Moses' final address to the people before they are to enter the promised land. And sadly, he won't be going with them, as God has already shared with him. But he's off to another land, isn't he? Mm-hmm. As we know later in the story. If only he knew where he was heading to. But it's interesting. We have a repetition of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5. And the fourth commandment, the Sabbath, has a bit of a twist here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it begins with, do you want to read verse 12, how it begins?
Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you.
Okay, so instead of remember, observe. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting why we have the reason given for the Sabbath in particular in Deuteronomy chapter 5. If you want to read from verse 15, just read verse 15, please.
Mm-hmm. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day.
Mm. So Charlie Kirk rightly says, you are created by a loving God. You are not a slave anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabbath reminds you are not a slave in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
You belong to God first and foremost. So you work 6 days and on the seventh day, you're not a slave to anyone. You rest.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what we have? And I'm trying to find the scripture here. In Exodus, here we go. In Exodus, the word Shabbat is used when Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5, verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to read Exodus chapter 5, verse 5?
I would love to.
And this is after Pharaoh has said in verse 2, you know, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. I have no time, no interest, no need for the Lord Yahweh. And when Moses says, you know, Yahweh has said, let my people go. And then verse 5.
And Pharaoh said...
In fact, pick it up in verse 4, verse 4 and 5.
Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor.
Shabbat.
Mm.
So Pharaoh... Okay, he's a symbol of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the enemy of God's people. He's a symbol of the devil and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
What did Charlie Kirk say? The enemy has gone after honoring the Sabbath.
Yep.
The Pharaoh, he went after the Sabbath. He says, no, you're not going to rest on Shabbat.
Right.
You're not going to rest. And God says to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 5, remember, Pharaoh did not enable you to rest on the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
but I am the Lord your God. I am your deliverer.
That's powerful.
I am your king. I am the one who has not only rescued you out of Egypt, but I have now blessed you with the Sabbath, and I am giving you the opportunity to enter into that rest as free beings created in my image.
And do you know what's an even greater deliverance than the deliverance through the Red Sea in Egypt? It's the saving of a soul from the degradation of sin.
Amen.
That salvation comes to anyone who turns to Jesus. That is a miracle.
Amen.
And it's a greater miracle than the parting of the waters of the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so if that's how much the Sabbath was to be of significance to the Israelites of old and how God expressed that back then, how much more should the Sabbath hold specialness and significance for us today as we remember that we have a Savior.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And what's fascinating is the Bible, at the end of 6 days of creation, the Bible says, and God finished all of his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day. When Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." It was Friday afternoon, and what did Jesus do next? He rested.
He rested.
And what does Hebrews 4 say? There remains a rest for the people of God.
Amen.
Wow. So the Sabbath is a symbol of creation, but it's also a symbol of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It's both. And that is why it is the sign or the seal of God at the end of time.
And it's a reminder that he's coming again.
Restoration.
For restoration.
Restoration. And the coming of Jesus.
Amen.
That is the true restoration.
And then when he comes, all things will be restored. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will have an eternity of rest. But even in heaven, there'll be Sabbath where we will come together to worship God.
You got to read it. You got to read it, sister. You know exactly where that is.
We're in Isaiah
66.
66.
22 and 23.
All right.
Some of my favorite words. At the end of the book of Isaiah, this gospel prophet.
Yes. This is what the Bible says in Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
So amen, hallelujah.
Amen. When we Sabbath here on earth, we are preparing to Sabbath with Jesus forever.
Amen.
Like it's a foretaste of heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
How awesome is that? Powerful. Powerful, 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 powerful. I can't believe we're getting to the end of our time, my friend.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun.
So we've only got a few minutes left. And let me just share with you a little here. A little more of what Charlie Kirk has had to say in connection with the Sabbath. This is what he shared. He said, I have found that those who honor the Sabbath, it is one of the greatest demonstrators of your faith.
Mm.
It is one of the greatest outward actions of an inward commitment to Christ. These are his words.
Mm.
So we are not, you know, this phrase, you've heard it a million times. He says, we are not saved by works, but we do works not to get saved, but because we are saved.
Mm.
I believe that honoring of the Sabbath and dedicating a day to the Lord, which the moderns can't comprehend or can't understand, is some of the greatest examples of fruits of being born again by Christ Jesus and showing that fruit to a broken world.
Amen.
Wow.
Beautiful.
The world is broken.
Mm.
It is broken. If ever we needed that Sabbath rest that is holistic,
to reset our thinking and what's important,
our focus,
family,
faith, friends, you know,
even our finances. Like when we rest on the Sabbath from labor, we're saying, Lord, we are trusting you to provide for our needs and take care of us. We believe that God is the one who does that, not we ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Charlie Kirk, you know, I hope and pray, and I hope and pray I'll see him in the resurrection, you know, when Jesus comes. From what we could tell, he was a man devoted to God, loved God. That was the first thing on his agenda, you know, to honor God in his life and in everything he did. And what an incredible legacy to leave behind, you know, this book on the Sabbath, that I believe is going to be read by hundreds, thousands, probably millions of Christians and non-Christians, you know, who are interested in this topic, that is gaining more and more airtime, be it even in the secular media, be it in our magazines, podcasters, you name it. This idea of the Sabbath is gaining more and more momentum, just as God foretold would be the case, to prepare the world so that each one can have an opportunity to taste and to see that the Lord is good.
Amen. And we should encourage our listeners, if you've never Sabbathed before with Jesus on the seventh day Sabbath, then we want to encourage you to start, to give it a try. The Bible says, taste and see, like Danny was saying, that the Lord is good. Mm. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And so we would encourage you to embrace this beautiful truth, this beautiful gift that God has given to you in your life, and experience the blessing he designs for you to have.
Amen. 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 Absolutely. Very well said. Very well said. And that's the message that Charlie Kirk shared at the end of his interview. You know, he said, if you're currently watching this online and you're not honoring the Shabbat and you're feeling depression, exhaustion and fatigue, there is something that costs you nothing. Mm. You don't have to take out a loan. All you have to do is commit to God and to stop what you are doing for one day a week. It will change your life.
Amen.
It will change your life. And it will change your life.
Amen. I think you should close in prayer.
Oh, I should close in prayer?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do that. All right. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you and praise you for today. And in spite of some of the technical difficulties that we've been having, and we pray, Lord, that you will work them through so that there won't be any more in order not to hinder the message from going out. We want to thank you, Lord, for what we've been able to share in connection with Charlie Kirk and the Sabbath blessing, dear Lord. And dear Lord, he discovered the Sabbath, the blessing that you created for humanity. And Lord, we just pray that all of our listeners will discover that. And there are some that are probably listening to this and maybe haven't tasted to see that the Lord is good and haven't been willing to give it a go. I pray that they will.
Amen.
And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless all our listeners, guide and lead them, and draw us ever closer to Jesus as we prepare for his soon return. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 God bless you all. Remember, fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. Keep looking up, and God bless you. See you next week.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. With a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts. Faith in the promise of his word. We believe the time is here when the nations far and near shall awake and shout and sing, Hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord.